Good morning. What is a saint? A few months ago, I had a wonderful conversation with some students in my philosophy course regarding sainthood. We had spent the past few weeks studying various worldviews pertaining to how philosophy and religion impacts artistic expression. After watching a short documentary about the St. John Coltrane Church in San Francisco, one of my students raised an important question. What is a saint? It must be noted that the student and probably some of her peers were experiencing what John Collins of the Bible Project refers to as a disturbance amongst one's categories. This is when one's presuppositions or previous understandings encounter a challenge. My student's question revealed that this Saint John was unlike the saints she knew or ever heard about. This Saint John apparently did not completely work within her saint criteria. This encounter stretched the student's category so much that she kept asking the question, what is a saint? As someone who hears the term in various situations, I want to share some descriptions which have come my way. But first of all, do all saints play instruments like the one in the documentary? Are they rich, poor, famous? Do they live in villages alongside the masses? Do they hide away in mountains, forests, or on islands? Do saints adhere to the vegan diet? Do saints dwell in the here and now? Or is sainthood only attainable after someone has passed on? What is a saint? In some traditions, a saint is defined as one who has performed miracles of healing. In others, a saint is one who has overcome tragic circumstances. They have somehow defeated life's giants and now live a life free of challenges. In Hollywood, a saint is a double agent who magically appears, disappears, and reappears in diverse situations, outsmarting his adversaries. Some believe that saints should not get angry. Moreover, saints should do everything right. This term is often used to describe people who tolerate those people in circumstances that no one else will tolerate. Some believe that in order to be a saint, one must be martyred. According to the song, We Fall Down by Donnie McClurkin, a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got up. Others still hold to the belief that saints are a selected few, while some think saints are those who pay weekly visits to the local church building. Again, what is a saint? Individually, these descriptions and definitions may or may not explain the true nature of a saint. So we must look to Jesus to fully understand what a saint is. Jesus' teaching in Matthew's gospel shifts our attention away from the what to the who. God's word personalizes the ethereal and abstract aspects of sainthood and brings the life of a saint down to earth. The saint's life is not about doing, but it is about being. Being always points to relationship. The placement and timing of Jesus' teaching in Matthew's gospel is wonderfully executed, for Jesus has just been teaching in their synagogues and preaching across Galilee. He has been healing people from all types of physical and spiritual illnesses. Now that he has gotten everyone's attention, he decides to use familiar language to teach something new. In the ancient Near East, especially in North Africa, there were sayings which began with the word blessed or blessed. For centuries, these proverb-like sayings were common in that part of the world. The difference between the previous sayings and what Jesus says in Matthew is that the first hints towards some type of reward based upon works, and the second is rooted in faith. The second also paints a portrait of the culturally undesirable and socially unacceptable as blessed. Moreover, the previous version of the blessed sayings reflect the cultural and social values of that region, which focus on tangible gains. For example, blessed implies outward blessings and rewards. Even though the Greek word makaroi means happy, such happiness is dependent upon one's external circumstances and events. Jesus' statement are counter to what the disciples and the people may have expected. He is telling them that their happiness does not come from external circumstances. Like the prophets of old, one is blessed because of what they endure. This teaching from the mountain breaks and reshapes the categories of all of Jesus' listeners. In this teaching, those who suffer and mourn, who are meek and submissive, who crave righteousness, who are merciful and pure of heart, are also happy. If we pay close attention to those attributes, we will notice that they are inner attributes which cannot be measured quantitatively. It takes all of these attributes to withstand the last three blessed statements, to make peace, to contend with slander, and maintain righteousness even under persecution. If we keep reading long past verse 12, we will notice that Jesus gives an in-depth teaching of the blessed sainthood. It is a wonder that verses 1 through 12 are considered the Sermon on the Mount, because Jesus does not finish this sermon, nor does he come down from the mountain until chapter 8. My favorite passage out of all of this is, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father who is in heaven." Why? Because I have found that hostile situations cause me to totally lean on God. We are happy in loving our enemies because it deepens our relationship with God. The closer we are to Jesus, the more we can love like he loves. This is why the hymn writer pleads, "O Master, let me walk with thee." So, who are the saints? The answer is simple. The saints are those who have heard the good news. They are those who feel compelled to share it and live it out wherever they may be. Yes, we are all saints. As difficult as it sounds, we must live out the blessed and happy statements right here and right now. Burt Bacharach and Hal David were so right when they said, "What the world needs now is love." Let us not wait for people to agree with us, to love us first, to respect us, to not express anger towards us, or even to see us or notice us. We are blessed even in seasons of great strife and confusion. We are blessed and we rejoice in the Lord because he has empowered us with his Holy Spirit to love. It is through his Spirit that we can love our enemies and pray for those who persecute and revile us. Theologian Charles F. Chaput says, "To be a saint means to be fully alive in Jesus Christ. Sainthood is not a matter of sentimental posturing or simply being nice. It is about being passionately in love with Jesus Christ. A passionate love for Christ will make us listen to others with empathetic ears. A passionate love for Christ will empower us to speak of him in places where it may not be welcomed. How many times do you and I ask, am I in love with Jesus? Does my love for him direct my thoughts? Do I listen like Jesus? Am I attentive to the Holy Spirit?" Rather than defining saints by what they do, perhaps we can focus on how boldly they love Christ and others during trying circumstances. Now, we have all heard the saying, love God and love others. Since we are clothed in his love, let us, like the saints before us, treat this love better than the American Express card and never leave home without it. Saints, we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Let us share God's love with everyone, even our enemies. I say, especially with our enemies. This intention of love must become an extension of love in this moment of time. Let us walk with the Master and live as children of the Most High. Amen.